Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all this morning as we gather together on this first Sunday in Lent to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're glad that you are all here this morning on this beautiful day, this day that the Lord has made. Just want to remind everyone that we have a deacons meeting Monday evening at 7 p.m., so please, deacons, be aware of that. Also, we have continued our Bible study. We are studying having our Bible study on Wednesday mornings at 11 o'clock. So we again invite everyone, it's open invitation for everyone to come out and be with us, but it will be on Wednesday mornings at 11 o'clock. Of course, there are other things going on at Olney Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin as well as go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
And our first reading from the Old Testament comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 through 11, which can be found on page 174 of your pew Bibles. Deuteronomy 26, verse 1. When you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it, and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God gives you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place which the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time, and say to him, I declare this day to the Lord your God that I have come into the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make a response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first fruit of the ground, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you, and to your house, you and the Levite, and the sojourner who is among you. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Verses 1 through 13, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 892. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing in those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as you've heard, this is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, our 40-day journey following Jesus to the cross. I was telling the Wednesday Bible study how much I love Lent. Used to be Advent and Christmas was my favorite time of year, but the older I get, the more I've come to love the season of Lent as it issues into Easter. I like the season of Lent in one sense because it's so countercultural. It's not likely that anyone is going to come up to you and wish you a Merry Lent. And I doubt that any of the department stores are going to be playing any Lenten music or having any Lenten sales, maybe a sale or two, I guess. And of course, I doubt that any of the venues of our death-denying culture will be blaring one of the central messages of this season. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. But Lent is a season we are asked to be honest about ourselves. We're asked to be honest about who we are. It is the season we are asked to look deep down inside of ourselves and to come to grips with all the ways that we fall short. All the ways that we fall short of God's glory, all the ways we fall short of being the human beings that God created us to be and desires that we be. Lent, of course, begins in the wilderness. It begins with fasting and praying. It begins with spiritual struggle and vulnerability. It begins with testing and temptation. It begins with acknowledging our total dependence upon God. And we've all had those wilderness experiences, I'm sure, experiences of vulnerability and loneliness, where all we could do is pray and trust that God would deliver us from whatever beast and demons we might be battling. It's hard to believe, but COVID-19 seems a long way in the rearview mirror now, but it was just a few years ago when we had kind of a long Lent imposed upon us by COVID-19. We were all locked into our homes, couldn't go out, a lot of things we couldn't do. And in that particular environment and situation and time, we had plenty of time to reflect on our humanity, on our weaknesses, on our vulnerabilities, on our frailties, on the possibility of death. But that's what Lent invites us to do. It invites us to reflect upon who we are as broken, frail, weak human beings. I don't think that any of us, of course, approach the wilderness experiences of our lives on our own volition. Usually our sojourn into the wilderness places in our lives are the result of unforeseen circumstances, are the result of forces and powers that are beyond our control. You all experienced them. We get the call that someone we love is in the emergency room, or we receive a bad report from the doctor, or the boss hands us a pink slip, or the spouse tells us they want a divorce, and suddenly our lives are in the wilderness. Not because we want to be there, but because we've been driven there. But we all know the place, a place of loneliness, a place of vulnerability, a place of struggle, where all we can do is pray for clarity and direction. And pray that God will make God's presence with us in the midst of that situation, whatever those situations might be. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't go to the wilderness in our text this morning on his own volition either, but he is driven there by the Holy Spirit. He is driven there immediately after his baptism, where he hears affirmed for him his identity as the beloved Son of God, which again is kingly language. It's language identifying Jesus as Israel's king, as Israel's Messiah, indeed as the king of the whole world. Jesus hears that for himself. And then we are told that the Holy Spirit drives him out into the wilderness, where he comes face to face with his own deep hungers, face to face with his own vulnerabilities, face to face with his own humanity, and of course face to face with the devil, with the Satan, the great tempter. I know we usually don't talk about the devil a whole lot, the Satan. Someone asked me about that once. Why don't we talk more about Satan or the devil? And I have to confess, I don't talk a whole lot about the devil, in part because he doesn't occupy a big part in Scripture. He's only mentioned a few times, but also because I don't get paid to talk about the Satan. I get paid to talk about God, the God we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I figure that Satan gets all the press that one could desire anyway. But I am curious a little bit about the devil in our text this morning as he shows up to be with Jesus in the wilderness. I wonder a little bit about him. Wish Luke would have filled in a little bit more information about him. How did the devil present himself to Jesus in the wilderness? Did he come as an angel of light? Or was he the composite of all of our nightmares and fears? Did he come dressed up in a suit and tie appropriate for the occasion? Or did he come in the desert camouflage of spiritual warfare? The Bible doesn't tell us any of that. We're not told what Satan looked like. We're not told how he presented himself. And in a way, none of that really matters. The Bible is not concerned with telling us what Satan looked like. We are just given the reason why Satan is there. And Satan is there to provide an alternative. He is there to give Jesus an alternative of what it means to live into his vocation as the beloved Son of God. He's there to provide an alternative of what it means to walk in the ways of God. That's what all of the temptations are about that Satan presents to Jesus in our text this morning. Satan really doesn't mind that Jesus is the Son of God. That doesn't concern him too much. Of course, he makes an allusion to it. If you are the Son of God, he tells Jesus, but it should best be read, since you are the Son of God. Satan has no doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. Satan just wants Jesus to be the Son of God his way. Since you're the Son of God, do it my way. Do it the way that I want you to do it. Since you're the Son of God, act like a Son of God. Act like a king. Act like a Messiah. Since you're the Son of God, don't waste your time here praying and fasting, but get up and take action. Get up and let the people know what you can do. Get up and show the people that you can attend to the economy, that you know how to address their deep hunger. Give them bread. Isn't that what we want kings and leaders to do? Since you are the Son of God, let the people know that you can keep them safe. Demonstrate to them that you've got their back and you can keep them safe. Isn't that what we want our leaders to do, to demonstrate that they can keep us safe, that they are the commanders of all that can keep us safe? And that's what Satan is telling Jesus to do. Act like a Son of God. Act like a leader. Act like a king. Act like a Messiah. And then he tells Jesus, look, let me show you something. See all of these kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the world, they all belong to me. And I can give them to whoever I want. And I can give them to you too, Jesus. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you came into the world for? Aren't you the Lord of lords and King of kings? I can give them to you too. All you have to do is worship me. All you have to do is do things my way. But of course, Jesus refuses. Jesus refuses the temptations of the Satan, because Jesus already knows what it means for him to be the Son of God. He already knows what it means for him to be the Messiah and the Lord of lords and the King of kings. To be the Lord of lords and the King of kings means that Jesus will have to walk in a certain kind of way. Not a way of violence, not a way of domination, not a way of forcing people to do what he wants. But it means that he will have to walk the way of the cross, the way of suffering love for others. There's a certain way that the Son of God is supposed to walk, a certain way that the Son of God is supposed to save and redeem. Jesus is blown out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to seek the courage and the strength and the clarity to walk the way that God has called him to walk, but it's a way that requires testing. It's a way that requires temptation, and that's why the Satan is there. He's there to test Jesus, to see if Jesus will be faithful to the way, will be faithful and obedient to the way of God, the way of sacrificial, self-giving love for the sake of others. Will Jesus be faithful to that way, or will Jesus be tempted to walk the other way, the way of the world, the way of the Satan, the way of arrogance, the way of power, the way of self-promotion and violence? What's going to be your way, Jesus? What way will you walk? And even though Jesus is famished, even though Jesus is alone, even though Jesus is vulnerable, he is still able to resist the way of Satan. And he remains faithful to God's way. And so we are told that the Satan leaves him and waits for a more opportune time. Surely, says Satan, Jesus will experience other low points in his life. Certainly there will be opportunities for me to present myself to him again. Are you sure, Jesus? Are you sure you want to be faithful? Are you sure you want to trust God? Are you sure you want to walk the way of the cross? Is this what you really want? Do you really trust God in all of this? I'll be back. I'll be back when you least expect it. I'll be back. I'll be back. I tell you what, Jesus, I'll be back when you're praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'll be back when you're asking that if God might find another way. I'll be back to see if you're still committed to walking the way of the cross. During the season of Lent, we are asked to keep two things in front of us about ourselves. One of the things we're asked to keep before us is what I've already said. We are dust. And it's to the dust that we will return. We are broken, vulnerable, weak human beings. We are mortals. We are frail. One day we will all die. We don't often like to admit that to ourselves. We don't often like to even talk about it, but it's true. We are dust. And to dust we shall return. The problem is that if we just hear that, it's tempting for us to simply be preoccupied with our own needs and our own safety and our own survival. And isn't that how we're often encouraged to live? Just be concerned with ourselves. Just be concerned with getting what we need. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about what happens to other people. Just make sure you have your own bread. Make sure you're able to provide a living for yourself. Make sure you're able to keep yourself safe. Make sure you're able to survive. but we become preoccupied with ourselves because we fear that's all there is. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But during the season of Lent, we're also asked to be mindful of something else. We're asked to be mindful that we too are beloved sons and daughters of God. We are beloved sons and daughters of God because we are in Christ. We are beloved sons and daughters of God because we have resolved to follow Him, to follow His way. And to be a beloved son and daughter of God and to follow the way of Christ is to live, an invitation to live as people who place our faith and trust in God. The God who has already overcome and defeated the powers of death. And that's what we were called to hear too, to keep those two truths about ourselves in tension. Yes, one day we will die, but we are the beloved sons and daughters of the God who has promised all of us a future, who has promised that not even the power of death itself can separate us from God's love. And therefore, we are called to live in the same way that Jesus lived, and to walk in the same way that Jesus walked, and that is to walk the way of the cross. Sometimes I think the biggest temptation for us as God's people is that we are tempted away from having a cross at the center of our lives. We are tempted to walk in the ways of Satan. We are tempted to worship the Satan. We are tempted to do things just the way that the Satan wants us to do it. We're so concerned and so anxious as Christians and followers of Jesus. We're anxious about the future of the church. We're anxious about Christianity in our own nation, and we are tempted to do what Satan wants us to do. We are tempted to abandon the ways of sacrificial self-giving love and to try to secure ourselves and to secure the ways of God by using force and coercion and maybe even some violence. But the story of temptation reminds us that we are called to have faith in a God who calls us to walk as God's people in a different kind of way. We are called to be people of love and grace. We're called to be people of forgiveness and compassion. We're called to be people who give ourselves for the sake of others. And that way just doesn't make sense to the Satan. It doesn't make sense to the devil. And to be honest, it doesn't make sense to a lot of us either. And yet that's what the Lord calls us to be faithful to that way, the way of the cross. During the season of Lent, we are asked to go one more time to the wilderness. We're asked to go one more time to that vulnerable place, that broken place, that deserted place, to have clarified for us the way that God calls us to walk, the way of our baptisms, the way of Jesus himself, the way of faithful obedience to the God who has called us and declared us to be his faithful sons and daughters. And during the season of Lent, we were invited once again to struggle with our temptations. Our temptation to worship the Satan by walking in the way that he would have us to walk. The way of being preoccupied with our own needs and being concerned with our own needs and trying to secure our own way by the way that the Satan provides us. But Jesus says to all of us this morning, follow me. I've already overcome the world. Follow me. I've already overcome Satan and the ways of Satan. Follow me. I've already overcome the ways of death. Follow me. I'm not promising you anyone that it's going to be easy, but follow me. Follow me down the highways and the alleys. Follow me down the main roads and the main thoroughfares. Follow me in the crowded places. Follow me in the sparse places. Follow me when you're tired and you're unsure. Follow me when your heart is broken. Follow me. Follow me because my way is the way of life. It is the way of love. It is the way of giving of oneself. It is the way of God, God's self. Follow the way of the cross, and you will find your life. And that's what Lent is about. And that's what this first Sunday in Lent is about. It is about our journey to the new life and the new kingdom and the new world that God has promised to each and every one of us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we enter into this season of Lent, help us to enter it into it with our eyes wide open. Help us to know that you have called us to pick up our own cross and follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know we live in a world where the messaging is completely the opposite. The messaging is that we find our life by holding on to it. We find our life by taking care of our own needs. We find our life by being preoccupied with ourselves. But you have called us to be, through your Holy Spirit, a different kind of people. And isn't that what our world needs right now? A different kind of people. A people of a whole new creation. A people of love and mercy. Help us to be that people as we journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he makes his way to the cross and beyond. And it's in his name that we pray this morning. Amen. Wow.